includes the descent down the Mount of Olives into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey, a colt that had never been ridden before, fulfilling the prophecy of the Messiah. And the crowds gathered around Jerusalem. They're laying the palm fronds down on the road, and they're taking off their coats, and they're laying the coats down on the road, and they are lifting their voices, and they are saying, "Hosanna, save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You are the Messiah, Jesus. Save us. You are blessed. Praise you forever." And they were lifting Jesus up. Obviously, in that moment, they looked at Jesus, and Jesus was the Messiah. Jesus was the one they had been waiting for. Jesus was the one that they had been hoping for how long? He'd been prophesied for 1,000 years. And here he was. This crowd of people. But do you know what's going to happen on Friday? That same crowd of people will no longer be singing Jesus' praises on Friday. Something was wrong. Because though they were saying the words, they were not true. They really, while in the moment they may have been caught up in some hype, by Friday the hype was gone and they were singing a different tune. We come to Matthew chapter 5. And we have been walking through what we call the Beatitudes, the first section, the first few verses of the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus is drawing with the Beatitudes, he is drawing some very distinct contrasts between what the people commonly think of as a blessed person, a religious person, the person that looks like they belong to the Lord, and the person that looks like they've been blessed by God. And Jesus is saying, no, what you guys think of as this blessed person, that's not it. Because blessed is the one who is poor in spirit. Blessed is the one who mourns. Blessed is the one who is meek. Blessed is the one who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Blessed is the merciful. Blessed is the one who's pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are those who are persecuted. This is what it looks like right here. This list, Jesus says, this is what the one who belongs to the Lord and whose life reflects that which is pleasing to the Lord, this is what that looks like. Jesus is drawing a distinct contrast between those who it seems like they're blessed and those who actually do belong to the Lord. The crowd around Jesus on that first Palm Sunday, they missed it. They missed it. Because by Friday, they were singing a different tune. I wanted to go to Matthew 5 this morning because I want to continue. We're not going to go to Matthew 5 next week, Easter Sunday, but I want to go here this morning because I want us to keep seeing what Jesus is talking about. And I want to present to you, a challenge this morning, right here off the bat. That crowd, Luke 19, Palm Sunday, singing Jesus' praises, but by Friday it was altogether different. And here's my challenge. This is Sunday morning, and we're here. And we are singing Jesus' praises. But I'm wondering if it's the same song that we sing on Monday morning when we're going to work. And on Tuesday morning when we're going to work. And on Wednesday at lunchtime. And on Thursday afternoon and on Friday night. Is it the same tune? Jesus says, Matthew chapter 5, verse 13, he says, you are the salt of the earth. Now, let's just take that phrase for just a second. What he is saying is, when he says you, he is talking about those who are his followers. He has a crowd of disciples. They are up on a hill overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Thus, the Sermon on the Mount. He has sat down. They have followed him. That's us. We're here because we're following Christ. And Jesus says to us, we. And he gives us an identity. He tells us who we are. Now, you need to understand what's happening here, that Jesus himself has to instruct us about our identity. We would not know who we are in terms of God's purposes for our life if Jesus did not tell us. We don't get to pick what God's purpose for our life is. Jesus has to tell us, here is my purpose. Here is your identity. Jesus gets to tell us who we are. And so he says, you are. And when we hear that, we need to think, okay, I've got some things to learn here. Jesus is telling me who I am. You are the salt of the earth. Now, obviously, he doesn't mean that he turns us into salt like Lot's wife or something like that. He's using a figure. He's using an illustration. He's using an image. Every single person in here and every single person that was listening to Jesus on that day knows what salt is and has used salt before. Right? So he's using something as a very common image. We know what salt is. Most of us like salt. We're not supposed to have salt, but we like it. It's hard to eat a scrambled egg without salt. But it's pretty good after the salt, right? So Jesus is teaching us, here's who we are. Here is who God intends for us to be. And who he intends for us to be is for us to be like salt. We're supposed to be like salt here in this earth. Let's keep going. If the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? Do you know what the thing about salt is? Here's the thing about salt. Salt has a very distinctive taste, doesn't it? Salt, by nature, is incredibly distinctive. My wife, who is a great cook, who learned it from my mother-in-law, who is a great cook. That's a fact, y'all. It is. And I am sorry that we're not going to get to taste some of it this afternoon. I really am. I'm disappointed about that. But that seemed to be the wise thing to do. My wife makes these cookies at Christmas time. They are oatmeal craisin cookies, oatmeal cranberry cookies. And they are the best cookies I've ever put in my mouth. But one of the best, what makes them fantastic is that you put a fair amount of salt in that cookie dough. And do you know, when you put that cookie in your mouth, you cannot taste the baking soda. You cannot taste the butter. You can't. You can tell that it's sweet, but you really cannot taste the sugar or the vanilla. The oatmeal has a little bit of a distinctive flavor, and the cranberries, if you get one in between your tooth next to your tongue, then you can taste a cranberry. But you know what the predominantly distinctive flavor in that cookie is that makes it so wonderful? Salt. Out of all the ingredients that go into that cookie, do you know what the one flavor that stays distinctive? Salt. You can put all kinds of ingredients in there, but do you know the one flavor that will stand out? Salt. You can take salt, and you can take a ham, And you can pack that ham in salt, which is a good thing to do. And you pack that ham in salt, do you know what will happen? The salt will not taste like the ham. The ham will taste like the salt. And in fact, that salt will actually change that ham so that it won't deteriorate. It won't go bad. It will preserve it. That salt, even when packed around meat, the one thing that you taste when you slice a country ham, what do you taste? It's not the ham that you taste. It's the salt. That's why we like it. Salt is by nature distinctive. It doesn't matter what you put salt in. If you put it in that, that's what you're going to taste. And I want you to see that Jesus is pointing out that salt is by its very nature distinctive. A lot of times you look at this verse and you try to come up with a particular use for salt. And we try to relate that particular use to us, that Jesus is teaching us something about a particular use. Listen, there are lots of particular uses that Jesus could be referring to. I personally, you read this, Jesus does not mention one particular use in general. Jesus is talking about the fact that salt, by its nature, is distinctive. It stands out from the rest of all the other ingredients. And if it were not so distinctive, why would you put it in cookies? If salt didn't maintain that flavor in contrast to the sugar and the vanilla and the oats and the cranberries, if you didn't get that contrast in that cookie, then you would never use salt in it. But you put salt there because it is distinct. Jesus is saying, we are the salt of the earth. We are distinct from everybody else around us. And if we were not distinct from everybody else around us, and this is a harsh, we would be good for nothing. If we as followers of Christ are not distinct, if we're not salty, if we're not distinct from everybody else around us, then the Father says, I don't know what you're good for. See, we tend to think, in fact, we even use this phrase. We use this phrase, salt of the earth people. I've said that phrase before, and so have you probably, salt of the earth people. And you know what we typically mean when we talk about salt of the earth people? What we mean by a salt of the earth person is usually just a commonly good person. They're just kind, good people. Can I tell you something? That is not at all how Jesus uses this image. In fact, a person who is the salt of the earth, there is not one thing common about us. Not one thing that is common. In fact, if we were common, we would not be salt of the earth. And it is not just that we are good people. It's that we are distinct people. That we are different. In what ways would we be different? Well, just that we're kind and that we're just good people? No. Jesus is talking about the list of distinct characteristics that he just gave us. So then when Jesus says you are salt of the earth and that you are distinct, when you are distinct here on earth, what that distinction means is that when everybody else around you recognizes that they're not perfect, but they're pretty confident, we are poor in spirit. When everybody else feels like, I'm doing the best I can, we say, that's not good enough because I long, I am completely, desperately dependent on the Lord for everything. We're distinct. When everybody else around us is saying, well, it's not that bad, we're saying that makes me weep. I mourn over that. When everybody else around us is fairly self-confident, listen, I'm doing the best that I can. I'm fairly self-confident. I'm just doing what I can do, and that's as good as I can do it. We are meek. Meekness is the absence of self-confidence, that we are absolutely, desperately dependent and completely reliant on the Holy Spirit to give us everything that we absolutely need. We are distinct. That when everybody else around us is just doing the best that we can, we hunger and thirst for righteousness. Distinct. When everybody else around us treats people the way that they deserve to be treated, we are merciful. When everybody else around us wants to point out the differences between other people and me, we are peacemakers. When everybody else around us is just trying to fit in, we are persecuted. Distinct. Salt. If we are not, we are no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. That's a harsh word. But it is what Jesus says. We are distinct. Jesus is teaching us. Here is our identity. Here is who God created us, His children, made us His own to be. Salt. Now, that's enough. That ought to be enough. But Jesus doesn't think it's enough, and it's not. We need more. And so Jesus takes salt and His instruction here, and He's going to give us one more image, one more illustration. Again, something that everybody who He was talking to understood and had experienced, and everybody in here understood and experienced. And He continues. He is teaching us who we are. Teaching us. This is your identity. And He says in verse 14, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. So Jesus is saying light, the way that light is present in the world, that's our identity. That's who we were made to be. And He's going to flesh that out. What do you mean, Jesus, that we're the light of the world? Jesus says, glad you ask. Because a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Now, I want you to picture this. No electric lights, no street lights, no headlights from cars. And in the Judean desert, or in the Judean hills, cities were put on top of a hilltop because they were easily defendable that way. They caught breezes that way. You could wall off a hilltop. Cities were on a hilltop. And so imagine if you are coming down a road with no lights. Have you all been on Coffee Road at night? You know what I mean. It's dark. And you know what? When you're coming up Coffee Road, if you're coming from Pearville Road, when you're coming up Coffee Road and you cross over Ivy Creek, you know what? You can look up if it's early in the evening, before 10 o'clock at night when our lights go out, you can cross over that creek and look up on the hill and you can see our parking lot because we have some beautiful parking lot lights. You can't miss it. It catches your eye. Jesus said, a city set on a hill cannot be hidden. You cannot hide light. Because in contrast with the darkness, light stands out. Light is distinct from darkness. It cannot be hidden. Here is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is teaching us, here's your identity. Your identity is light. And here's the property of light that you need to understand. Jesus is telling us. The property of light that you need to understand is that it cannot be hidden. Light cannot be conformed to darkness. Light, you cannot diminish the contrast between light and darkness. They will always be distinct. Always. You cannot hide it. Now, let's stop for just a second here. Jesus is teaching us about our nature. He is teaching us about ourselves and who He has saved us to be. And He says, you are light, and you cannot hide light. It's impossible to hide light. Now, let me ask you a question. If you're in the dark and somebody says to you, hey, there's a light on top of that hill up there, and you look, and that hill doesn't look any different than any of the rest of the hills, dark like all of them, what would you say? There's no light there. That's not a light. And they say, well, yeah, it is. Say, look right there. It's a light. No, it's not. It's not a light. It's no different than the darkness around it. Jesus is saying, if there is light in you, if you are light, you will be distinct. You will be. Just by nature, you have to be. If you are His, if we belong to Him, and we have His life in us, then by nature, we are going to be distinct because you cannot hide light. If you are a light, then you will be distinct. If you are not distinct, then you cannot be a light. This is a very clarifying phrase from Jesus. You cannot hide a city set on a hill. Can't hide it. If it's there, then you will see the distinction between the darkness around it and the light that it gives off. Do you guys realize what He's saying? He's teaching us about us. If there is light in you, if you are His, then we will be distinct. We will be. Now, in verse 15, though, He's going to deal with a particular temptation. He says, does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket? No. But you put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Here's a particular temptation that we face. Jesus is dealing with the temptation to want to take our distinctiveness from the world around us and to try to lessen that contrast. I naturally, when I'm around people, I naturally want to buffer the differences between me and them. Why? Because I want people to like me. I want people to think I'm a smart person. And I'm scared that if they see too many differences, then they won't like me, or they'll think I'm not a very smart person, which people do all the time. But you see what's happening? There is this temptation for us as followers of Christ to want to decrease our contrast between us and the world. We want to make it so that we're not so different. Because I want people to like me. I don't want to stand out. I don't want to be different. I want to fit in. But Jesus says, does anybody take a light and put a basket over top of it? No, that'd defeat the whole purpose of being a light. He says, listen, if you are a follower of Christ, if you have my life in you, then you don't buffer that difference, those distinctions. You don't lessen that contrast. You accentuate it. You accentuate the differences. Listen, I am different. We are different than the world around us. We have to be. If we belong to Christ, we're going to be. And Jesus is teaching us, don't hide that. Accentuate those differences. That's what He made us His own for. And He gives us a result. When you do put a light on a lampstand, when you do showcase these differences, then everybody in the room sees by that light. How will people around us know what Jesus is like if we try to make it so that we're not so different? They won't. They won't be able to see. They won't know. Because we're the light and we're trying to cover the light up. Jesus says, don't do that. Verse 16. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. Now here's what he's saying. Here's the responsibility that we have. He says, let your light shine. That is a responsibility. The differences that God has made in my heart, that the people around me who are unbelievers don't have, or even the people who say they are believers but really aren't, the differences in my heart than their heart needs to be displayed. There must be a difference, and we have the responsibility to let that shine. And he says, here's the purpose in letting that shine. The differences in my life than everybody else around me, the purpose is so that they will see those differences. Now he says, Jesus says, so they will see your good works. Now, we read that, and I'm going to tell you a temptation that we think when we read that. We tend to think, when Jesus says, see my good works, we tend to think just on the very surface stuff. That means, well, I mean, I go to work and I don't use curse words like everybody else. Okay. I mean, I open the door for ladies and let them go first. Yes, Friday I poured my boss's cup of coffee and took it to him before I drank mine. Those are good things. That's not all that Jesus is talking about, though. Do you know what he's saying? He's talking about the list that he just gave us. When you go to work tomorrow, students, this is not just for adults, students, when you go to school tomorrow, do the people around you, do they see somebody who is poor in spirit? Do they see somebody who, man, they can't, that guy right there, he acts like he needs the Lord for everything. But I mean, he does a pretty good job. I mean, we're all just trying our best, right? But that guy right there, I mean, not just like for finances, but that guy right there acts like he needs the Lord to love his wife. That guy acts like, man, he just is absolutely desperate for the Lord to give him the wisdom. And he's got great kids, I mean, but he seems like God just is, he's just done if God doesn't give him wisdom to raise his children. I don't understand that. And I mean, he talks like he just, man, he wants to be like the Lord and he just needs the Holy Spirit to grow the fruit of his spirit. Man, I don't understand why he's always talking like he needs the Lord. He's a pretty good guy. I mean, we're all pretty good people, right? We're just doing our best. Why does he always need the Lord? Salt. That guy right there, I mean, yesterday somebody was talking about, you know, I don't know how their marriage broke up. And I mean, that just kind of stuff happens. But reduce that guy to tears. I don't know what's up with him. I don't know why he would cry about that. That happens every day. Salt. That guy, I mean, you have to have a certain amount of self-confidence to make it in this world. I mean, you got to be confident in yourself. And that guy, it's not that he's, I can't figure that guy out, because it's not like he doesn't lack confidence, but It's not in himself. He's never talking about anything about himself, but yet he's got confidence. I don't know where it comes from. I don't know. I can't figure that guy out. There's something different about that guy. Salt. This guy, there are people who, they're just different, right? They're just, I always try to point out the differences in those people than in me, because I don't want there to be any similarities in between that person and me. I want those people to stay as far away from me as I can get them. But that guy over there, he's always trying to draw them in. I don't understand that. That's different. It's like he wants peace with everybody. You can't have peace with everybody. But he wants to. Salt. That guy over there, you know, if he would just quit talking about this stuff, then everybody would leave him alone. But he takes so much heat because he just will never give in. People pick on him, but he doesn't have to be picked on all the time if he'll just quit. You know, I don't understand somebody like that. I mean, wherever I go, I try to fit in. That guy right there, man, everywhere he goes, he's like a lightning rod, and people pick on him because he's different. Seemed to me like he would try to minimize some of those differences so people wouldn't pick on him so much anymore. Try to fit in a little bit. Salt. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works. What Jesus has just gotten through describing. And then watch this. Watch how the Lord will use it. When they see our distinctive life, when they see these distinctives that Jesus is describing and the contrast between our heart and everybody else's heart, when they see that, and they will, because you cannot hide it, and you wouldn't want to even if you could. He says, they will glorify your Father who is in heaven. That because we are distinct, because we're different. Because we are, the people around us will see that, and some, their eyes will go this way, and they will come to know our Heavenly Father. They obviously will come to know him through our Savior Jesus, and they will bring him glory as well. That's how God intends to use our life. Can I challenge you? Because what Jesus is saying here is fairly drastic. He doesn't use sugar. He uses salt. The people around you, who is it that you have the most in common with? I want to challenge us. I want to challenge us to really allow the Holy Spirit to go through. Who is it that we relate to? And if we see, you know what, most of the people that I'm around and that I relate to the best, you know what, they're unbelievers. Is it because they don't see any difference? Is it because they see somebody in us? I mean, okay, we say the words like the crowd on the road to Jerusalem. They hear us saying these things, but there's really no difference between us and them. They're the same kind of people I am. Or do they recognize, wow, wait a minute. Whew, taste that cookie. I taste salt in that cookie. That's different. That's a light. Woo! That, wow, that is That is a difference. Something's different there. My dad had, I don't think he has it in his office now because his office has changed several times since I used to work for him in high school. But my dad had a framed quote on the wall of his office the whole time that I was growing up. And this is what it said. It's a little cliche, but I think the point is important. He says this. He said, if you were arrested for being a follower of Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Are you salty? Are you bright? I mentioned last week the story of a young man who was going to pay for his college by going to work in a logging camp up in the Northwest. Grown up as a Christ follower, knew the Lord, and his parents tried to help him prepare for what might happen to a Christian in a logging camp, because logging camps aren't known for their kindness, and among other things. Young man went away all summer long, came back, and his parents wanted to know, how did they treat you? I mean, was it okay? I mean, were you persecuted much? The young man said, no, it was great. I don't even think they ever knew I was a Christian. Salt. Light. Jesus says, here is what we are, guys. This is who He has made us to be. And it's salt. Distinct. It's light. You can't hide that. And you wouldn't want to even if you could. Are we different in the ways that Jesus just described? Are we different? He intends for us to be. And if we're not, then we need to go before Him and confess that as sin. And if we are, then we need to ask Him to provide the boldness and to provide enablement to continue to be salt and light. Because that's who He has created us to be. Father, God, I praise You for preserving these things from Your Son, these words. God, how would we know this if You hadn't written them down? God, we would not. We would never come to these things on our own. God, we need You to teach. We need You to instruct us. Oh, Father, thank You for Your Word. God, I pray that You would take our lives and that You would enable us, Lord, in the way that You have described, to be distinct, to be different. I pray that You would use our lives to show a contrast to the world around us, and they would see it. And Father, I pray that they would come to know You through it. Oh, God, convict us where we have tried to hide the differences. God, convict us when we have allowed our lives to just look like the people around us because it's easier. God, I pray that You would help us to put our light on a lampstand, that You would help us to showcase the differences that You have made in our hearts. Oh, God, thank You for making them. We need You. In Jesus' name. Amen. In just a second, we're going to stand and we're going to sing it.